This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9 of the business station. This is Cruise Control, the car show here on BFM. My name is Rich Bradbury. As usual, I'm joined in the studio today by Daniel Fernandez from DSF.my.
Did you get the station number correct?
I did.
Well done.
On the other side of the coin is the man with the news, Mr. Arif Ruse.
I think he did.
Just checking, because, you know, he keeps repeating it over and over every day about 20 times.
On this week's show, we'll be talking about Petronas's new fuel, summonses and fines, Miti are responding to what? And then killing the Autobahn, and we actually have a car review. It is the Volvo S60 T8 Polestar.
I'm glad you got the last word in.
The last word.
The last word.
That will be coming up in two parts, of course. Up front is, as usual, the man with the news, Mr. Arif Ruse. Arif, what's all this new fuel about then?
Well, on Wednesday, I believe, Petronas launched a new type of RON 95 fuel. They're calling it ProDrive. And they're saying that it's going to improve engine response with better fuel efficiency and smoothness. They've in that press release also, they've cited a bunch of their claims and saying that, you know, all the people that we've given these fuels to say that
it's great.
They've definitely gotten better fuel economy and all that stuff. So
Were they driving 20-year-old cars?
No.
Because it's still Euro 2M.
It is still Euro 2M, which is, you know, it's quite weird because everybody was talking about, like, you know, we got to upgrade our fuel, make our cities cleaner
emissions and everything else.
And yet this is a new fuel that is still 25 years behind.
And from the National Petroleum Company.
I'm saying no more. I think we should probably move along.
Well done,
very
Richard.
Swiftly. Summonses and fines. Something to do with the Transport Minister.
Yep. This week, the Transport Minister, Anthony Locke, he announced that since 1st September 2018, there were about 90,000 AES summons that were given out to the public, and only 10,000 were paid.
Sorry, shouldn't have, but this is Malaysia, and that's kind of what happens, isn't it?
Because
everybody waits for the discount period.
Right.
And the minister said no more discounts.
Exactly.
No more discounts.
He said no more discounts for any offences. So that, and he gave actually quite an extensive list. Running traffic lights, speeding, overtaking on a double line, using a phone, cutting queue, no seat belts, hogging the right lane, which is a good thing, and driving on the emergency lane.
But can I ask you this? No seat belts, does it apply to rear passengers as well?
He didn't specify.
Yeah. They should. I agree.
They should.
He also says that during the upcoming Chinese New Year break, anybody who breaks any of those laws we'll see on-the-spot summons.
During Chinese New Year?
Yeah, during the Chinese New Year.
How is that any different to Raya?
No, because, you see, during Chinese New Year, people have their ang paos ready. So it's easy for them to pay straight away.
But we are going to get in so much trouble this week.
Exactly.
But you know, throughout last year, I think we were talking a lot about, like, oh, Anthony Locke's definitely gonna be threatening people. No, absolutely zero discounts and all that stuff. And, you know, by the results that he just revealed, it hasn't really worked.
No, but I think he's trying very hard.
Yeah.
Thumbs up for trying really hard.
It's really positive stuff.
Yes, I think
once it actually sinks into people's brains that there are no longer any discounts, you know, and there will no longer be any discounts, people are going to have to start paying. And otherwise, they're going to end up jail time and a larger fine.
Or you lose your license.
Yes. I mean, I think there was some mention of, like, you can't renew your road tax until you've passed Puspacom as well as paid all your summons. So
that's a good thing.
The clock is ticking for, you know, the 80,000 people who haven't paid yet.
Wow. They're in a rush to pay. And that's good because the government needs money.
Mm-hmm.
They need money to improve everything else. If people don't pay their summonses, it's a bad situation all around. So I think, you know, and, you know, I don't agree with jail time. Because jail time means the taxpayer is paying for someone to sit somewhere and get fed. So just take away the licenses, take away their cars, and they will pay.
Yeah.
Until they pick up a car and drive it without a license, because that's the other issue that we have here.
Then you have the next summons. Ah. That means your car will be taken away from you.
And this could go on and around forever, couldn't it?
Yes.
Jail is what I'm saying, jail.
No, jail is expensive.
Okay. Miti's announcements then. What's this about?
Yep, so Deputy Minister of the Ministry of International Trade and Industry, Ong Kiam Ming, he said, you know, last week, there were last 2 weeks or something, there was a lot of talk about the MAA saying, like, you know, price approvals are getting delayed all the time, and this is the reason why every car launch is getting delayed. And Mr. Ong Kiam Ming, YB Ong Kiam Ming, he says that we will speed up the processes.
Well, let's
he
hope
promises
so.
To, yeah. So he responded to MAA's gripes about the slow price approvals, and then he's decided to talk to the government.
You see, the thing is, the ecosystem for the automotive industry, if you don't do this quickly, cars are piling up in stockyards. When cars pile up, because they can't be released to the public, you see, if you walk into a showroom today and order one of these new cars, I'll give you an example, a Perdua Arus, hot selling, the order books have already gone past 7,000. Now, if you want to go and buy one, they say, you got to hold on. Your car is actually sitting in Perdua. It's ready to be delivered to you because they've kept 12,000 cars ready to be delivered. And these cars are ready to go because they know the demand is going to be high. But if you cannot collect your car because the price has not been approved, what happens? There's stock holding costs. Meantime, you might have, you know, decided to trade in your older car. So what do you do? Can you get the trade-in price you want? So you're not only affecting the showrooms, the livelihood of the salesman, the factory, never mind. Let's think about them later. But also the consumer who wants to buy a new car, what does he do with the old car? Okay, so he says, okay, I have to trade in, I trade in now. When do I get my new car? Well, you have to wait. While waiting, what do I do? Do I take public transport? Right. Maybe certain locations I can't. Do I take ride hailing, which means I got to take out money? All these situations are running around the automotive ecosystem, and we're already in month two next week. So it's not a good idea.
What's the short answer to solving that problem then?
The short answer is stop having committees, sit down and work out why you're holding this back. If you're thinking about lowering car prices, it's not going to happen. 1-2% really is not going to make much difference. It's like the 6% GST before. The thing is, just let things go first while your committee decides how you want to lower car prices in the next, you know, second quarter or the third quarter, or maybe let's plan for 2020.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, totally logical. I mean, and as well, that going on the lowering car prices thing, Ong Kiam Ming actually said that he is thinking about lowering excise duties, therefore reducing car prices.
Right.
Consumers can buy more cars, OEM will be able to sell more cars, and then the finance ministry, as a result of the higher volume of sales, will collect more excise duties, which kind of makes sense. But
okay, it makes sense. But what if now, does Ong Kiam Ming actually have a used car dealership? Because if you lower
car
prices...
Not last time I spoke to him, no.
Yes.
No.
If he does that, all the used cars, their current stock, is just going to drop in value.
Yeah.
And you know, you're not talking about 10, 20,000 cars. You're talking about maybe 50, 60, 70, 100,000 cars sitting in used car dealerships around the country.
But, you know, you've kind of got to future-proof your country, haven't you? You know,
yes.
Long-term solution is to bring down the cost of
cars. True, true. But you must give enough time. If you say now, okay, 2020, we're going to lower the car prices by 10%. Or the excise duty by 10%. So used car dealers can start planning and slowly reducing their stock or working out some kind of mechanism. Meanwhile, what about people who currently have cars on finance with finance companies? They will say, hey, my car has just lost 10% or maybe 20% of its value. How am I going to sell it and get back some money? I'm in my seventh year. I was just about to end my loan and I thought I can get some decent money. So you cannot do this over 2-3 months. You need a year at least.
I mean, we'll see what the NEP states. But
yes. I'm no economist, but you know, this is just a lot of money sitting out there that's going to be rotten.
I am happy at least we got this announcement because everybody's, I mean, nothing has been said over the past year, and then suddenly this comes out. Nobody knows whether it will actually turn out to be true or whether it will happen. But, you know, at least they're thinking about it. And I feel like that's the least we can expect at this moment.
Yes.
Okay, we're going to take a quick trip over to Europe. German lawmakers are wanting to do something quite drastic, which has been part of their infrastructure, a part of the reason why many people, drivers in particular, go to Germany. They are trying to kill the Autobahn.
Yep. So, I mean, This story is actually quite funny to show about the German obsession with cars and motorsports and all this stuff, because the German government actually asked for a new climate report on future mobility, and then the climate change experts or the experts that they went to, they came back to say that we should put 130 km/h speed limit on to lower emissions, to lower Germany's highway emissions.
Right.
They planned a meeting with the German government, and then the German government saw this release, and then they said, nope, I'm cancelling that meeting. then they calling it an agenda and against all healthy understanding, I assume, of what German.
So hang on, right? just to clarify, the expert said you need to reduce car speeds to 130 kilometers.
Yeah,
that is our professional opinion, and we do this for a living.
Yeah,
and the government went, no, we're not going to do that.
No.
I totally agree with the government because you know why? Okay, you say you want to lower because of emissions. Mm. Very simple. The future is electric cars. We know it. All the electric cars that are coming out from all the big German companies all have 200, 220, 230 top speed limit with no emissions. Mm. So what's the problem?
Exactly. Mm. I mean, there was a bunch of comments online that were saying like maybe they should just allow really fuel efficient, fast cars to go high speeds on the Autobahn, i.e. like the Tesla Model S. Right. Maybe you can stretch it to 230 kilometers an hour. But if you drive a BMW M5... you can't because you're wasting emissions, yes. Which would be quite complex to mm-hmm. enforce, but, exactly. You know.
Well, we wish them all the luck.
Don't kill the Autobahn, please. I haven't really
You've
been
not
there.
Been there yet?
No.
Right. Let's move on to car launches. We've got locals, we've got globals. Let's go with locals first.
Mitsubishi Triton. That was revealed this week, wasn't it?
Yes, it happened on Wednesday morning, yes.
There's five variants, as far as I know. It starts at 100,000 ringgit for the VGT model.
Yes, 100,200, exactly.
Right at the top is the Adventure X model at 135,000 ringgit.
135,200.
All of it comes with a 2.4-litre turbo diesel, apparently.
Six-speed gearbox.
So if you're looking for a pickup, please.
Well, you know, it's the newest pickup in the market. It's got 181 horsepower, 430 newton meters of torque. And I think this truck looks awesome. Take away the chrome now, of course. You know, I'm not a favorite chrome. But in terms of looks, it's awesome. The interior is much better. You know, I came away from the launch thinking, you know, there's only one little problem. They don't have a 4x2. That means a two-wheel drive with an automatic gearbox.
Right.
You heard it first.
I always went to the same
on
thing.
On BFM Cruise Control. Where else? Ford has it.
Yeah. So wait, would that be your go-to then? Apart from the fact it's not a 2x4, or it doesn't have a two-speed gearbox.
You mean it's not a two-wheel drive, with an automatic gearbox?
That's what I was trying to get to.
Well, you see, even...
Because you're always saying, you know, get a Hilux.
Yes, but if you think about it, all the urban cowboys, and there are more and more urban cowboys coming along. Even Mitsubishi product people told me, they've seen a lot of people coming from small passenger cars, like Honda City, Toyota Vios, moving up to a pickup truck because they want that big, brawny, you know, macho image. But they're not going off-road at all. So if you're not going off-road, you still want that big image, you just buy a 4x2. Mm. You don't need the extra engineering and technology and everything that's carrying along with you. And it's also better consumption. But you want that automatic gearbox because you're sitting in traffic all the time.
Yep, that is true.
But you didn't answer my question.
Yes, sir.
The question was, would you recommend this over the Hilux?
Okay, I've not test driven this yet.
Ah.
But when I do get to test drive it, I will tell you my evaluation. But if looking at the specs and looking at what Mitsubishi always provides, I think they're almost apple to apple with the Ford Ranger. And that's a good thing.
Yeah, totally agree.
All right, move on then.
If you've got a million ringgit to spend, you can buy a McLaren 600 Longtail.
Before tax.
Before tax. Forgot to mention that.
And McLaren is back in Malaysia.
Mm.
They're sitting in Glenmary. The showroom is about to open. Mm-hmm. They're just waiting for Richard, a true Brit, to go there and say, McLaren.
I'm sort of walk past and say, yep, can't afford that. But it looks nice.
It's still a British company.
Still a British company. There's not many of them left.
Yes.
Right, global launches then.
We also caught sight of the Renault Clio 5, the Mark 5 version.
It won't come here.
Did the old one come here?
Well, you know, Clio can't sell here because without CKD, the price is too high.
Yes.
Great car.
I mean, well, if you're looking to rent one in Europe, I suppose. It basically looks the same, but it's got a really nice interior and a huge Tesla-style touchscreen, which is quite interesting.
Why do you keep saying Tesla-style? Why don't you say Volvo-style?
Because Tesla were the pioneers, weren't they?
Okay.
Ha, I told you, didn't it?
Yeah. Speaking of Volvo...
Put me in my place.
Speaking of Volvo, they released a new picture of Polestar 2.
That is going to be rocket, man. Yeah. Rocket.
All electric, four-door fastback, really exciting stuff. Mm. Not much else to say because there isn't anything else to see yet.
The target is... your favorite company, Tesla.
No. But also coming from the Swedes, we've got the Volvo V60 Cross Country, which is basically a V60 or and lifted, which to
so
me
So somewhere
is,
between an SUV?
Yeah, somewhere in between.
And between a wagon, so it's like a crossover.
Yeah, and I think that's really the perfect height for a car, isn't it? Yeah.
Remember the X70 Cross Country?
Yeah, yeah.
Many years ago. They never continued it.
Yeah.
Yes, it was, you know, it sort of went into retirement with the old Volvo management. But now with Geely coming in, there could be a revival.
They've also got the V70 cross, yes. V90 cross country,
yes,
as well, right?
Yes.
And
V40?
V40 cross country as
correct.
Well. What?
Between
wow.
an SUV and a wagon.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a swagon.
You got it right.
Oh, my God, yes.
This is wagon.
You naughty
you
man.
You heard it here first.
Can't wait to review it so that I can get you to say that.
Right, we need to take a break, ladies and gents. All that news has fried my brain. Don't go anywhere, though, because when we come back after these messages, we have a car review of the Volvo S60 T8 Polestar here on Cruise Control on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, the business station. This is Cruise Control. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio, as usual, with Daniel Fernandez from DSF.my.
Selamat datang.
He wasn't Spanish. We got away with it. And, of course, giggling in the background is Arif Ruz, the man who previously just gave us the news. Say hello, Arif.
Hello, everybody.
Now then, Daniel. These car reviews, few and far between nowadays.
Yes. I've been consistent
but you
with
have
the last 4 weeks.
And this week, we do have one.
Yes.
It looks like a nice little beastie.
Yes. If you look at the pictures, you know it's an S60. It's a brand new S60. Volvo has been sitting on this product, this nameplate, for some time without a lot of success in this part of the world. S60 has sold well in North America, in parts of Europe, but in this part of the world, the S60 nameplate has never been a big seller.
Why is that?
Well, you know, it's competing with, I would say, more influential brands like BMW,
you know,
Audi,
Mercedes. That's what I was going to say, Arif. Don't hit me too hard, but this kind of looks BMW-esque.
I wouldn't argue with that, because I really love the way it looks.
It looks really nice,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And, you know, Volvo, ever since it got taken over by Geely, they've been, you know, like rebirth, you know.
Right.
So everything is new technology, everything else. But the problem now is with this car, the S60 comes in just two trims. There's a T6 and a T8. Now, we did take the T6 out before in US. And when we took it out, we enjoyed it and we loved it. And we said, this car will sell bang for your buck when it comes to Malaysia. And it is coming to Malaysia. The bad news is the T8, because this is even bigger bang for your buck, but we're not sure whether it's coming to Malaysia.
Oh, no.
Because Volvo in Malaysia hasn't decided whether they can make enough of a case study, to bring this car in with the numbers, you see?
Right.
It's a numbers game.
Yeah.
I can't bring in a car with so much technology if I'm only going to sell 30, 40 units.
Right. Yeah.
Okay? Yeah. With the T6, yes, I can do, you know, 500, 600 units. Bang, it'll go. Malaysians will buy into it because it looks great. The choices are fantastic in terms of trim levels and it's fast. But with the T8, now I'm going to explain a little bit of the T8 tech to you in terms of engineering. It uses a four-cylinder, it's a common engine with Volvo, supercharged and turbocharged with an electric motor. So
well,
it's a plug-in hybrid.
It's a bit greedy, isn't it?
Yes, it's a plug-in hybrid. So you've got bags of power, you've got great engineering inside.
Wait, this is the engine from the XC90 T8.
It's similar.
Similar.
It's similar. And you got 415 brake horsepower, 670 Newton meters of torque. In terms of power, you're looking at supercar performance here.
Yeah. Right?
From a four-door sedan. 2-liter engine, so if it comes from Malaysia, your road tax is next to nothing, 300 ringgit if it's private. 8-speed semi-automatic gearbox, 250 top speed limited, so it's ready for the Autobahn. 0 to 104.4 seconds.
That's super saloon territory.
And you know, because it's got an electric motor, it'll be so easy to tune it to 3.5 seconds or 3.2 seconds. But never mind all that. First things first, you get into the car. The thing that, you know, makes this car stand out, I know it sounds silly, is those yellow seat belts. If you look at the pictures, You know,
you're right.
You know, the black on black, the interior black on black. I mean, this is a test car they gave us. Of course, they got other combinations. But the moment you open the door and you see those yellow seat belts, it immediately says, drive me fast, abuse me.
I'm surprised they didn't put it in that Polestar blue.
Okay, this is another shocker. And it's going to be a shocker for people who understand and remember what Polestar is all about. Now, in the old days, Polestar was not part of Volvo. It was a racing division that took Volvo cars into the BTCC, British Touring Car, and other small races around Europe. And they even used the Volvo wagons, the sedans, the coupes, and everything else. And they were quite successful, especially with the wagon. It was quite funny to see the BTCC, all the sedans going around. But you have a Volvo wagon coming in, and you know it's big, it's heavy, it's lumbering, but it's winning the races.
Yep.
And it had fantastic following. Now, that was Polestar. And now, Volvo has bought over Polestar. And they were keeping it as a tuning division until Geely came along. And Geely said, now Polestar will be the electrification arm of Volvo.
Right.
So this means that if you get an S60 and it's all petrol.
It's all petrol and turbocharged.
But then if you want a hybrid version, you're technically going to
a Polestar. So, like earlier we mentioned how Polestar has come up with a brand new fastback, proper Polestar, which is fully electric. So, in time to come, Volvo Polestars will be actually electric vehicles or plug-in hybrids.
Mm.
So, if you see a Polestar, yes, you got fantastic power delivery, but it's also going to be a plug-in hybrid. It's going to be an eco-friendly performance car.
Right.
Which sounds a little bit funny because eco and performance at the same time. But Polestar now is becoming an engineering company. So when they took us for this test drive in the US, this was the car that we thought, you know, okay, it's going to be electric. It's going to be plug-in hybrid. Yes, it's got a lot of performance figures, but will it be able to take on cars like BMW 5 Series, the Mercedes E-Class, E350 hybrid, and, you know, the new Audi A6? We drove it. We were impressed, but we were not impressed enough. Because in the US, you can't speed.
Yeah, that is true.
That was the problem.
Right.
This is a very fast car. First of all, we started in LA. LA traffic, you think Malaysia is bad? Go to LA. You know, with all the police, all the junctions, all the flat streets and the big intersections, traffic is everywhere. We went out into the outskirts, the mountains. In the mountains, there's police at every corner with radar guns. So you can test the 0 to 100 or the 0 to 60, as you might call it. You get that initial surge, but immediately after that, you got to slow down because someone is watching you.
Mm.
So to be very honest, I did not get to exploit this car as much as I would want to exploit it to get that, you know, that full supercharged electrification power delivery, which was a bit disappointing. But, you know, you've got no choice. You're in the US. And the reason why they brought us to the US is because this car is made in the United States of America. Big new factory. Volvo is producing it in the US for the global market. Now, I think, given enough time, the production of this car might move to somewhere in Asia. Simply because the ones that are coming from US are all left-hand drive. They say right-hand drive also. But I think to ship it across to Asia is just going to be too expensive.
Which part of the US has it been manufactured in?
In California.
It's actually in California.
Yeah. Yes.
Interesting.
And you know, the cost to produce there is not going to be cheap.
Ah.
But of course, that's your biggest market for the sedans.
That's what I was thinking.
Yes. But you know, they said it's going to... But anyway, we go back to the interior. Brembo, I mean, normal things. But you know, like the features, Brembo brakes, Olin suspension. You know, it's all top-notch equipment being loaded into this sport sedan. And the thing is, you look at the performance figures and you look at the way it looks and you say, my God, this car is actually chasing the BMW M5. The AMG 43, you know, these are the big performance cars, the Audi A6 RS, you know, it's chasing all these cars. But it's a Volvo, never before, you know? And that Polestar, that whole Polestar branding, it says performance, it doesn't say electrification because people are still thinking performance.
Why do you think then that after all this time, Volvo have suddenly had this mindset change and gone, you know what, enough of the boxy but we're good. Let's do something that makes people go, you know, and produce something like this.
I have a thought here. Because I feel like, you know, Geely's acquiring a lot of companies, right?
Right.
And I feel like Geely is going to be their mid-size, mid-premium sort of everyday car.
Yes.
The Proton is going to serve one sort of market
demographic
segment.
Yes.
And Volvo, I feel like they're going to try and knock it up into BMW Mercedes territory.
That's an interesting idea.
Definitely.
And they have to have that performance division to attract some sort of pedigree into that, right?
Yes. And you see, given enough time, because they've acquired Lotus, right?
Yeah.
So Lotus is going through a rebirth. Very soon, I'm sure Volvo will come with Lotus Henley.
that would be interesting, wouldn't it?
And Lotus lightweight technology, or maybe even in Polestar, there'll be a joint venture. I mean, all this is bigger picture we see later. But for now, this car, when it arrives in Malaysia, if it does, if they make it into a case, you know, to sell it here, first of all, it's going to be a bit too expensive.
Mm.
And I use this, you know, sadly for Malaysians, they cannot see themselves paying 550,000 ringgit for Volvo as yet. Because they've always seen Volvo as a 300,000, 250,000 vehicle. That is why you see the S90. It's won awards globally. It's still winning awards around the world. And yet, you don't see many Malaysians embracing it. In the US, people are buying it. In Europe, people are buying it. But in Malaysia, when people walk into a Volvo showroom to look at the S90, like now they have the T5, which is selling for 330,000, fully loaded, 2-liter turbocharged engine, nothing wrong with it. But the moment they look at it and then they turn to the right and they see the XC90 sitting there, I pay another 60,000, I get an SUV with 7 seats. And immediately they say, I'll buy the XC90. Mm. So the conversion rate is shifting towards SUV, also because Malaysians like SUVs. And nobody looks at the Volvo wagons anymore. They're still making wagons, it's still in the showroom. So bringing a sedan like this, you know, a top-notch performance sedan, the Malaysian who wants to buy it for 500, I'm estimating 500,000, 550,000. That's my estimate. I could be wrong. Mm. But, you know, fully imported with all the tech, people still say, I might as well buy a BMW or Mercedes. Or I might even go and buy a grey sedan and, you know, and live with it. This is the problem that Volvo needs to overcome when it comes to performance sedans like this.
On that note, we should quickly move on to the 6-point inspection
this. Yes, sir.
Arif, as usual, take the final four. I'll do the first four. Important specs then, price, segment, engine type.
Like I said, price is going to be too high. They won't be able to compete with the Germans. Mm. And the Germans, in terms of branding, in this country, we're talking purely in this country, it's going to be difficult. Specs, engine, all bang on your buck. They've got it done.
Okay? Who are its competitors right now then? Not here in Malaysia, but elsewhere.
Elsewhere, I would say all the Germans.
All the Germans.
All the big German boys, even right down to someone like the Volkswagen Arteon.
What did you like about the car, other than the yellow seatbelts?
You know, I'm Indian, I like yellow. Apart from the yellow
seat, it was orange.
Apart from the yellow seatbelts, I just love the way this car took corners.
Right.
It is because of the electrification, it's lower, it's a little bit more weighted. And you know, it feels like it's gliding into corners with such a stout tarmac hugging feel. You know, you feel like you're connected with the tarmac. It doesn't feel, you know, loose and jiggly like, you know, the previous Volvo S60 was. Mm, mm. You know, this car feels more connected.
All right. What didn't you like about it?
Personally, after I drove this, I said to myself, that interior is too somber. You know, that black is too somber. For a performance sedan, look at the competition. The competition brightens up the interior. Like, okay, if you do black leather, you got to do like an off-white stitching, you know? You got to have more metallic trim inside. I know it sounds tacky. I don't like all this metallic trim. But the consumer market, when they walk into a showroom, they open the door, this is what attracts attention. You know, the meter cluster.
Yeah.
You must have the Polestar logo there. This doesn't have a Polestar logo in the car. It's just at the back, outside, and in front. You should sell the Polestar, like, on the headrest. You know, on the steering wheel. I mean, these are things that will tell people, hey, this car is special. I'm not buying a normal Volvo S60.
So, I mean, other than that, what else did they change inside from a regular normal S60?
Yellow seatbelt.
Yellow seatbelts and brakes. Did they tune the drivetrain?
Yes. It's tuned because it's completely different drivetrain. That's why it's got much more power. But the base engine is the same.
Does the future look bright for Polestar?
It looks bright overseas, but not in Malaysia, I think.
Not.
Unless they go on a whole branding exercise here, which is a lot of money. Just like how BMW did many years ago with M, and which Mercedes did a few years ago with AMG.
Yeah.
Volvo needs to spend a lot of branding just purely on Polestar. But is it worthwhile when you just have one product for now? Is it like BMW has so many M cars?
Yeah.
Mercedes has so many AMG cars. Audi has so many RS cars. But Volvo only has one Polestar car for right now.
So,
well, there is only one Polestar.
Yes.
Just saying.
Exactly.
I mean, okay. So You mentioned just now that the V60 and the S60 hasn't exactly arrived here, right? So
yes.
When can we expect it to?
You know, you heard it here first from BFM. Third quarter this year.
Somebody write that down.
Yes, write it down. Third quarter.
Writing them. And final question. Even with all of its fallbacks, this S60, this or anything German?
For the moment, common sense would say German.
Yeah, but where does your heart tell you?
Heart tells me if I've already got, say, 5 cars in the garage and I've paid for all my 4 houses and my 2 condos, this is the car I'll buy.
That's a very specific situation.
It is very specific.
Yes.
But thank you.
Sharing is caring.
No, I agree. I completely agree.
Yes.
Thank you for your Spanish interludes as well today. Yes. And your reference to colour. It has been wonderful.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, this, of course, has been Cruise Control. If you've missed any part of the show, you've missed stuff on Patronus's new fuel. Not so new, though,
no.
Is it? Summonses and fines we've spoken about. We spoke about Mitty. We've spoken about killing the Autobahn. And, of course, you've just missed the car review of the Volvo S60 T8 Polestar. If you missed any part of this show, you can download the podcast. It is available via our app, which is available in the Apple App Store or Google Play, and we're on Spotify. We have an Instagram page. Don't we?
At BFM Cruise Control.
He's always slow to respond on that.
I'm sorry,
every
man.
Week.
I'm sorry. Just listening to your voice all the time makes me, you know.
Don't you say bored.
No, go into the zone.
This has been Cruise Control, the car show here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.